Fire. There we go. There we go. I told y'all Miss Hogan was coming. Well, there she is. Párate, por favor. Vamos a presentarle otra vez, güey. ¿Está bien? Miss Hogan. Te amo. Of the two of us, she's the one that's changed the most. Holy Ghost, fire, fire. Shotaraba, kataraba. All right. Yep, I had to walk in, and I wasn't in unforgiveness, but these people that attack you consistently, like 35 years is consistent attacking. Especially when this is what went on in the first service, some of y'all that wasn't there. And they kill people around you. They're your friends. They damage your property. They burn your crops, your livelihood. You know, it makes you mad. But there's something about us that's different than the normal other human walking down the street. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the covenant of God. It's either right or it's not. And if it's not, I'm going to run guns and dope and make a lot of money. Hello? I'm not going to mess around. But this thing is really real, y'all. And there's a reason to walk tedious and circumspect and be under scrutiny from everybody all the time. Be above reproach, the Bible calls it. Most modern Christians have a world that's hidden from other people. We don't have that, Ms. Hogan and I. And you know who gave me the advice? There was two people, my mom and my dad. They were seventh generation Christians, preachers. And my mama told me, David, if you are going to preach the gospel, the most important thing, this is a woman that was a pastor's wife for 47 years. This was her advice to me. This is when I'm younger, because I was pretty bold when I was younger. Thank God for y'all, I've meddled out a lot. See, y'all's world don't get that. But my mom, she goes, you got to learn how to live in a glass house and stay alive. That was my mama after all those years of being a pastor's wife. That's what she told me. Of course, I didn't understand her. I was young. But I got it. And I'm all right. We're still alive. We're doing good, huh, Mom? Shakaba. And my dad, he gave me some advice. You want to hear it? Now, this is a man with 3 degrees. He had a doctorate, a master's, and a BA. Very smart fellow. Here's what he said to me. I've been in school my whole life. I have taught the gospel my whole life. But I want to tell you how to survive and to be a success. I said, I'm interested. He said, don't have a pair of jeans that don't have a hole in them from bowing to the Holy Ghost. And I said, are you serious? He said, yes. So I paid attention to both of them. And so a certain amount of success and survival and bright life has come to us because of I had 6 mentors, and they all had nuggets for me the whole way, right? Now, I want to give y'all another thing here. I'm fixing to leave in a few minutes. I'm not one of these long goodbye people that tell you goodbye like 16 times and you wish they'd have left on 3. I'm a one time. Y'all be blessed. I love y'all. And thank y'all for letting my wife and I come and my family. I bless you in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. All right. There you go. Now, I got a brand new Bible verse for you. It's in Hebrews. Chapter 11. In verse 1. But I'm only interested today in the first three words. So what are they?
Now faith is.
Say it to me again.
Now faith is.
Say it to me again.
Now faith is.
Say it to me again.
Now faith is.
All right. Now I will. It's something about. I want to tell you a story. Is that okay? Yeah. I mean, we did a whole Bible verse, so it's time for a story. We were doing a conference. We call them campañas, campaign. Y'all call them conferences or whatever y'all call them. And, you know, it was raining. We don't have these kind of facilities where I'm at. We have different facilities called the woods. La selva, the jungle. And we put up a tent, big old thing. And it was raining, boy, oh boy. But to our world, rain is not a bad thing. To our world, rain means the blessings of God have captured you. Because rain brings produce. Produce feeds us. So to us, Indians, rain is the blessings of God capturing you. So, and it's raining, I mean, and we already killed the hogs and the cows. I mean, all the meat's there. The peppers, the beans, the rice, everything is cooking or cooked and... There were still lots of hundreds of people came. It was right under 1,000 people, but it was still a bunch of us. And, you know, we're there, and I'm blessed to be. I'm pleased to have God get me a good truck, and so I can four-wheel drive in, then I can hike in. And so I'm blessed to be still healthy, fortunate human to have strength. All right. And so I'm in there with the brothers, and it's just a handful of us outsiders, and the rest of them are them. It's hundreds of them. And we're piled up in there, and we've been eating, and oh, wow, it's a nice thing. It's a good thing. And then you never know. You just see what you don't know. You don't know when you need mercy. Y'all's world is... formatted. If you make 6 or 7 steps or moves, certain things are going to happen for you. You feel comfortable with that. I feel in prison. I like it where, excuse me when I say this, but I like it when it's a crapshoot. You don't know what the dice are going to roll. I like it when you don't know what's coming up. Man, I like change. I like excitement. I like an environment that is not formatted by anybody, regardless of how bright they are, because I'm not dull myself. But boy, God uses you when you get all in.
Yes.
I'm going to get you, and it's on purpose. I told you that. I've been setting you up for these two services here. Now, the one this morning and this one. I want to tell you a couple of things. I'm sitting there with brothers. I must have 75 pastors are there. And, you know, and when they get around me, it's none of this trivial stuff. It's solid problems. I just, as soon as they woke up and we do the protocol, then it's straight into the problems. Because they know they've got to use me while they got me by it within handshake distance. And they start just telling me all these problems they're having in their churches. And all I do is get my Bible out and just, we just use verses. I don't talk. I don't counsel. I use verses. We do this. We do this. This is what God said. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to walk. We're not left. We're not right. We're straight down the line. This is what it says. That's how we run things where I live. All right. And y'all call that a little bit too much law or too regimented. But that's just because you like to break the rules. And it shows in your life. I don't like to break the rules. I like to please my dad because he's the best dad ever. And he's got the best toys of anybody. And he lets me play with his whole storehouse of toys. And he's the weirdest dad. He's got the most powerful stuff and he just lets you have it.
Amen.
He's a good dad. So I was there and I was doing my job, just using my Bible to cure churches. And everybody's writing and marking in their Bibles, doing all sorts of stuff. And now it's raining. It's uncomfortable. It's mud. It's cold to us. It's, you know, the environment is not conducive to pleasantness. And then right out of the jungle. See, this is what you're not. You think it's hard because it's raining and muddy and the food's so hot you can't. Your ears are popping and you're hiccuping. You think that's bad. See, that's how you think of it. But it can get bad. Because out of the woods comes walking these soldiers. And they're not regular. They're not regular army. They are bad guys. And now you didn't know that was going to happen because dad lets you play with his toys, but he don't always tell you about the dog that's trying to bite you. And so these people walk in and they are bad guys. They will fillet you right there. And it's about 25 or 30 of them. And we're standing there. We got our world intact. Now, it is a little wet. It is a little muddy. It is a little cold. And the food is hot. But it's working. So how do you think it went when the bad guys walked up? That changes everything. So what do you do? Brother Don, the door opens up. 30 bad guys walk in with AKs. What do you do next? Because it doesn't matter who you got in this house. You ain't going to take down no 30 men with AKs, buddy. Exactly right. It ain't going to happen. It don't matter what you think you got to organize. What a great defense. What a great offense. I'm telling you, when they just materialize on you out of the fog, it's different. It is. It's a different game. God never told us. I had prophets standing there talking to me. And they never knew that evil was fixing to engulf us. All right. So, and I want you all in people to understand what that means. If you look at heaven and say, I'm all in, what if he takes you at what comes out of your mouth? What are you going to do then? What happens? What's the next step? All right, I'm all in, God. He goes, okay, set them up. And then all of a sudden your scenarios change from awesomeness to oh my godness. What do you do next? And this is not a joke. This is my life. I've got babies, dozens of women and children, and we're dead. In the earshot of them, I just looked at my pastors. Protect the women and children at all costs. Get them over here. And I turned on those guys. That's the only order I got to give. Isn't that something? You've actually met somebody now that has to live it. And I enjoy this. It's a horrible confrontation. Your emotions are all over the place when it starts up. But what do you do? Y'all are always spouting off stuff. What's the matter? Trust. You do trust. So how's that look? Name of Jesus. Walk by faith. All these are right statements. But in a scenario when you're fixing to witness the slaughter of women and children, wow. So my response, having done all to stand, what do you do next? So I walk up, because it's easy to find the leader. They're very bright. Meanest things, they're meaner than any hostile cobra you've ever been around. And I've been around a few of those in Africa. They're mean. And this guy, he walks over, and I walk over to him, and I'm looking at him, you know, typical, bald-headed, tats, you know, mean, spitting mean, just hateful and knows it. So I walk over to him. That's not most Christianity's approach. But it's mine. Right or wrong, I'd rather talk to them and tell them how awesome Jesus is and what a coward their God is. They need to hear that. You know, because you really believe a thing called negotiation. You don't negotiate with devils. You do not compromise with evil. And I've got people that's going to be murdered if I don't do something right. But you know what I found out about these bad guys? It don't matter what you do. They don't have a conscience. And you expecting them to see things like your world sees it is foolish. This is between God and the devil. And that is how it must be approached. Well, David, I don't agree with that. Hang out. There's way more you're not going to agree with. So, I walk over to this guy. He's a big boy. He's at least as big as I am. And he's younger than I am. And at least stronger than I am. But he's still got to prove that. Because even though he's got all the chips, he's got a rigged set of dice, he's got everything in his favor, that doesn't mean God's going to let him win. I am a son of God. And they are evil. They are children of the demon. They don't have the right to run my world. Jesus is King. And I know that raises a lot of questions. I got that. You'll be talking to some people. And that's all right. You can figure it out. You'll be all right. Because I'm here with less bullet holes. In other words, they didn't shoot me. And I walk up to that guy. Just look him right in the face. Just as bold, just like you think I probably would. That's how I do it. And I walk over to him, not trying to provoke him. I don't have to. He's provoked. And he don't have to provoke me. Him walking out of the woods, I'm provoked. What does love your enemies look like? I'm going to explain it to you. I walked right up to him. I mean, we're close. I'm within an inch or two of his nose. And I'm looking him right in the eyes, and I'm not backing down. It ain't going to happen. I said, "Qué quieres? What do you want?" He said, "Ando buscando David." I'm looking for David. And I'm looking him right in the face. Of course. And it's not that I am the bravest guy there. That's not true. But I'll tell you what I am. Beside it. Now, the difference in us is I don't have to decide. I don't have to take it home and pray about it. Jesus said, "Do it. It's a done deal." And we're not looking for compromise. There's no negotiation. You understood me or not? Okay. I said to him, "Yo soy David. I'm David." He said, "Es lo que pensé." He says, "What I thought." I said, "What do you want with us?" He said, "I've been told that you're bold, that you're wild, that you're crazy, that you're..." I said, "Sí. Es la verdad. It's the truth." He said, "Es lo que veo. Es lo que sé." I said, "That's great. Now, what do you want?" He said, "They told me that your God can heal anything." I said, "Whoever they are, they told you the truth." See, this is the reputation you need. Your enemies need to know this about you. Hell needs to be lit up on the fact that you're crazy. That you don't fit the criteria of normal humanity. That you actually believe you're a son of God. I said, "What do you want with me?" He said, "My son." See, now this is one of the most evil, fierce, alive soldiers on the planet. But his son is broke. And he's figured out that evil can't fix it. He has figured out that murdering spirits, deception, raping, pillaging, filleting, dismembering, beheading spirits cannot fix his boy. Now that's a good thing to figure out. Isn't it? But you need to be in play when they figure it out. Do you understand that? You need to have been there and are still there. It matters.
Yes.
The humiliation that we get most of the time, the criticism, the critiquing, all those things that hurt your feelings. Who knows if the people that's saying this stuff, they might be right. Who knows? You're human. You're capable of being flawed. But God in you is perfect. Are you catching me or not? All right. And I said, "Where's your son?" And he turned around and nodded to this lady. They all carry their babies on a shawl on their back. Even the bad guys. She come around there, she flipped that child around. Boom, he's bigger. And I look inside that shawl. I open the thing. You don't understand bravery. When God's on you, you're bad to the bone. I'm telling you, in a normal situation, I'd have never touched that shawl. You know that, right? Do you? You don't touch the shawl of the bad guy's wife. You know, I reach in there and look, and there's this crippled little deformed thing. And I looked at the mom. Because see, he may be who he is, but mom, see, they have their way. Even if you're the baddest thing on the planet, mom still has their way. I said, can I hold that boy? And she just looked at me. She didn't even look at her husband. She's just looking at me because she is as bad as he is. She carries just as big a gun as he does. And that's literally. She said, si, como no. So I reach in that shawl and I pull this kid out. Now, how safe am I now? All right, it went from him having the court, the ball, and all the rules. When I picked that kid up, what happened? Now, I got all the rules. Are you understanding? See, just a little bit of courage and trust in God flipped it on hell. Are you understanding? And I know that had I had some great teachers there and prophets, y'all would have been able to teach me an easier way. But the problem is, you wasn't standing there. So I had to do it my clumsy, awkward way, but it worked. And I was able to get my hands on this broke child. And that, as you have been seeing all morning, is what I like to do. That is my thing. Fix whatever's broke, because I can, because I am a Holy Ghost filled Son of God. Now I looked over there, and mom, all of a sudden, there's a little tear. So what happened now? I won. Long as I got that little boy in my hands, ain't nothing happening to any of my people. So I walk around holding this kid for a while. And then I walk up to Dad, you know, and I look him right in the face. Now these are enemy. As bright and as much of an enemy as possible for humans to have, they are to us. We are the complete opposite end of the stick. As clumsy and awkward as we are, they are not that way where they live. They are pure evil. So how do you treat pure evil? Come on, y'all know how to be mean and rude and tell them how off the course they are. Nope, that ain't right. You overcome evil with... It's the good, Romans chapter 12, the last verse. You overcome evil with good. So how do you do that? Here's how you do it. You walk around with this broke kid and you kiss it and you love it. You've been watching me. And you climb right in mama's heart so you can fix things. So I walk over there to Dad and I go like this. You boys hungry? You love your enemies. Buddy, that's not easy. Just because I got food there don't mean I'm going to give it to them. I got hungry people around me that need the food. Well, I'm going to feed my enemies and make them stronger. Well, because that's what Jesus said to you. He looked at me, he said, no, yeah, we're okay. I said, I understand, okay. But I need to feed your troops. And we got the best food there is. Because God is with us. We fed them and wined them and dined them. And the whole time I'm walking around with this kid. And then it was my turn to talk. And I put the kid back in the mama's pouch. And I started talking and telling them about how awesome Jesus is. And still raining, still cold, still muddy, still enemy in the camp, still everything's the same. I got through talking and I walked back over to him. Looking, I mean, he's just glaring. There ain't no emotions. It's just evil. I said, so, you ready for Jesus now? He just went, see. You ready? You think you're ready? All of them got born again. Boy. See, when you live in a war zone, as long as we're alive, we're going to get them born again. They need us. And actually, I need them. I like that. That feel, that smell of that adrenaline, and you know when it's blood, you know. Oh, the fear. It's awesome. See, and you do everything in your power to stay away from that. Not me. I like it. That's what all in feels like. Your enemies come and you don't know what they're there for. You have no idea. Because God, he just lets you play with his toys, but he's pretty tight-lipped, God is. He expects you to trust and obey. He expects you to love your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you and abuse you. That's what God expects out of sons of God. Y'all with me here? Or have I lost you now? Yes. It makes some of your problems feel a little bit small, don't it? And you know that little boy? I saw him a few days later. Guess what about the little broken twig? It's completely healed. Our enemy. God healed my enemy's boy. Isn't that awesome? That's weird to me. God is just awesome. Everything is awesome. Shaka tarababasha. Let me throw a couple of verses y'all's direction. Y'all ready? You think? Let's see. Let's go to the Old Testament so you can say I'm a well-rounded preacher. Honestly, it doesn't matter to me what you say. I'll be fine. And that is a true statement. Miss Hogan over there, you okay, Miss Hogan? It'll be fine. So let's go to the book of Judges. Let's go to chapter 6. And let's try to find the right verse. Y'all there? Verse 28. This is after Gideon had his encounter with an angel. And he decided to try to trust God. Who were the first people that shut him down? Read verse 28. What does it say? Who are these people? It was the people that were in the city he lived in. His kinfolks. His friends. His co-workers. is this that stood up against Baal? Me. Pick me. That's my favorite thing to do. I can't tell you some of the escapades because it would really incite some of y'all in a negative way. But I really hate Baal. I don't do Baal. Buddy, me and Baal are enemies. Idolatry, Baal worship is from the devil. So there you go. All right, now. And when the men of the city, verse 28, arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down. Asherah was cut down that was beside it. And the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. And they said one to another, who did it? You might as well put my name in there. Because I'm tearing Baal down. We are doing God. We are doing the Father. We are doing the Lord Jesus Christ. We are doing the Son of God. We are not doing Baal worship. Y'all still with me? Now, the reason I picked up in this place is because I'm after a particular verse over here. We'll get there in just a second. And they said to one another, who did that? And when they searched and asked, they were told it was Gideon. And the men of the city commanded, bring him here. So they did all that. Now then, kinfolks, people of the own town, co-workers have turned against you. Well, when you stand up for God, that's not all you're going to get against you. Keep reading. Verse 32. Therefore, on that day they called him, let Baal contend against him because he had pulled down his altar. And look at verse 33. Now, he's done got the whole bunch of friendlies mad at him. Now, look what he does in verse 33. Now, all the normal enemies rise up. It says, and all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together crossing the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. But I want to look at verse 34. I don't want to look at how powerful your enemies are. I don't want to look at your little cry, family hates you thing. Dude, that's normal. It's from the beginning to the end, it's going to stay the same way. You stand up for God, hell hates you. Dude, live with it. Worship. Make them more mad. By worshiping. Not to try to make them mad, but to please God. Please God. Tear down Baal by lifting up Jesus. And in the Amplified, there's a word here that I'm after. Does anybody in here have the Amplified besides me? What does it say in y'all's Amplified verse? Verse 30, what number? 4. It says, read that a little louder so they can see I'm not making this up. Right.
But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon.
And then something else happened.
With himself he took possession of him.
Oh, that's where we want to stop. See, in Psalms 104, 105, 106, 107 of Psalms, it says, for the Lord clothes himself with light. He rides upon the clouds as a chariot, and he makes his ministers flames of fire. Okay. All right. You see, I'm into that, right? just think about it. Just think about this. We're in this scenario with the bad guys. And what if the whole time, from the beginning of time, God was waiting on that moment to clothe me with himself? And what if we would have allowed fear to disrobe us? That makes you nude. That makes you vulnerable. I don't like being vulnerable. I like protection. I like the Holy Ghost. So you worship. God likes that. And he goes down. I mean, this is God. Comes down with a robe. See, I did this real famous study. It's about a 9 or 10 hour teaching on the anointing. You don't ever hear me talk about it much, but boy, it's a good one. And you know what I've come up with? I did all these commentaries and did these thousands of hour things and all that. Oh, man, I did a whole 40-day fast, and the whole thing was about the anointing. All right. And it means literally to be painted with God. God comes and paints you with himself. You actually take on who he is. He paints you with who he is. You hear me? God clothed Gideon. God possessed Gideon by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, you don't hear very many preachers talking about that because it really takes honestly, you get enough people possessed by God and things will change, but it also takes away from normal church. And y'all like that normal thing. I like I told you in the beginning, I like it when my enemies show up and they're there to be humble instead of kill you. That is a good thing. We need to be possessed. And I'm not talking about by what we have out here on the highway or byway. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about we need to be on this carpet until Jesus comes and says, heaven has had enough of you. Here, be full. See, because every morning, this is what heaven gets out of me. Yes, there's my wife, there's the girls, anybody that runs with me that I let in close, this is how it goes. Every morning, soon as I get up, this is what heaven gets out of me. And the angels go and tell, God says, who is that? Knocking on that door. It's that same fellow. It's that guy you touch him and he just wants, and now he's relentless. He just absolutely thinks he can have more. And God goes, give it to him. What you waiting on? What's the matter with you? Ask. Seek. Knock. I so got y'all. Y'all are so easy. Okay, here's the deal. There is one. There's a deal. I am going to hold on to the altar of God until I become possessed by him. I am not, but I will be. Do you understand? Do you understand? Let's do another verse. Since we're in the area. Let's go back to the New Testament. Y'all there? So am I. Let's go to Luke. I got to find this verse, so I believe it's chapter 1, verse 37, I think. Let me look. Yep, that's it. Good guess. What does it say in y'all's Bible? Does it say that or not say that? Either does or it don't. So, do you love Jesus? Is Father God his dad? Is Jesus our brother? Are we inheritors with Christ? Are we sitting with Christ in heavenly places? Are all things below us, under our feet? Is that true? Okay. Since we're in agreement, more or less, I'll be all right. You have to understand, when I tell you that, heaven's coming. All right. I got this question in my heart, you know. The prophet, the high priest went in, right? John's dad. What was his name?
Zacharias.
Thank you. So he goes in, and the same angel manifests to him, tells him how it's going to go, and he questions. And so he went mute and deaf for how long it was till what's his name was born. What's his name? John the Baptist, yeah. Okay. And then the same angel goes in and talks to this girl here, maiden, handmaiden of the Lord. And what happens next? She questions, how can this be, since I don't know a man? He didn't make her dumb and deaf. Innocence is different than religious. Always approach God innocent. That's a good sound advice for you. The angel of the Lord looked her right in the face and just said, with God, no thing shall be impossible. And he let her be. That's a good question right there, isn't it? How do you stay innocent? Such a complicated world of vice and corruption, humanity. I'm talking about in the church. Politics. It's complicated. You do that by staying on your face to the mercy. Keeping yourself swiped by the mercy of God. God won't listen to any of your yell buts or what ifs. He don't want any of your logic or reason. He wants you bowing to him because he's awesome. And that's the only reason. Excuse me? Hello? Excuse me? Okay. I want to tell you another story. I've done two verses now and no story. It's starting to get feeling bad. I'm starting to get a little bored over here. I go out to this village, right? That's where I'm always at, villages. And I get this woman looking at me. And in our culture, men won't stare back at you. Never a woman. Men do something, but never a woman. Now, I'm going to get you with this. This is a planned scheme to rattle your cage. God wants you touched more than you want touched. Okay. He wants to possess us, clothe us with himself. All right? Good. All right. So, I'm out at this village. There's hundreds and hundreds, hundreds of people, and the women are always glancing up and looking at me. But in their world, it's illegal because I'm a foreigner. I'm not from the same tribe, so it's illegal. But I look over there, and there's this grandma I'll tell you, I have trouble with grandmas around the world. You know, I'm married to one, so I get it. Come here, grandma. I can't come across that line. Wait. Oh, that's better. And so I have this healthy respect thing going because I've been in front of these bad guys around the world, all the different groups, and they truly are mean, but I don't see them as the trouble that other people see. They just misguided people that need help. But now grandmas. Grandma's an entirely different game. And I go, you know, I'm looking at her. She's just staring at me. So I asked the pastor, "What's up with Granny over there?" He says to me, "Ask her." I took a deep breath because this is going to get complicated. Because let me tell you how old she is. She's probably 7 or 8 million years old. She's just, I don't know. She's past whatever's past antiques. Whatever what that is, she's past. She's not even antique. She's past that. And I'm just looking at her. I'm trying to find a spot on her where there's not a wrinkle. And there isn't any. She has one wrinkle. All over. Everything I can see is just wrinkles. I'm going, oh, no, I don't want to talk to her. She is going to eat my lunch. I am just a babe to her. I don't want to talk to her, but I cannot. She's glaring. It went from a gaze to a stare. Now she's on. And she knows I have to ask her. And I couldn't help it. I'm so eat up with curiosity all the time. So I said, "Get the what's up with you?" She just smiled. Here she comes. She's walking. Now look, it's going to be a year before she gets there. But she's across the room. I'll have 2 birthdays before she gets here. She's moving, but she's not going anywhere. By the time she gets there, it'll be a full marathon for her. I'm thinking, God, so. Oh, that smells good. So. Are y'all okay?
Yeah.
You all right, Miss Hogan? Okay. So finally, after a while, she got over there. And she's sitting right there. I mean, pastor's right here. She's right. I mean, I'm sitting down. She's right there. She's just looking at me. And I'm staring at her. And I can't not ask her. I don't know. Something in me is pushing it out of me. I want it to stop. It won't stop. ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué quieres? What's going on? What do you want? And she just took a breath. Boom. When she started talking, I just looked at the pastor. Oh, I'll be here the rest of my life. Okay, here's how that went. 30-something years ago, she was one of the persecutors when I first got to that area. She was very bright, machete-wielding young woman, anti-Christ-oriented, Baal-worshipping devil. So I've already given you my response to Baal worship. No. Jesus? Yes. Baal? No. Okay, there you go. So we have trouble then, her and I. We have never been all right. In the very beginning, they had money in her family. They were part of the persecution, putting people in jail, killing people, burning crops, burning houses, blah, blah, blah. On and on it goes. And so the next thing that happened, she was sick when she was younger, and she got born again. She got born again so she could get healed. That's how they view it. And so she did it. She got born again. She got healed. And over the process of about 35 years, or 37, everybody in her family got healed. Everybody in her family got saved. There's no one left in her family to get born again. And she is the matriarch of this huge family, and all of them are on fire. And it's several hundred people in this family. All right, that's an awesome thing. All right, but then a few months ago, she got sick, right? Now, y'all's world, I'm going to do my best to bring you into mine for a moment. We don't believe in people dying sick. Y'all are okay with that. God is not. So we're not. So Granny, she made her entire family promise that they wouldn't tell me she was sick. But because she knows I'm not going to let her die. Wait a minute. You don't have any say over that. Are you sure? I am a son of God. Unlike unbelief, I believe. And so they promised. And then it was incurable. And then the second disease came. And then the third. Now she's down. Like I told you, she's an antique. So, you know, she ain't coming back. That stuff eats. I mean, when you're old as she is, one of those things would have killed her. But it took three. Because I'll tell you, she's pretty resilient, this one. Boy. Wow, she's bizarre. Then, so the pastor heard about it, went over there, and she told him, "Don't you tell Brother David, and don't you pray for me." He said, "I'm telling him." She said, "Don't you dare." And so these people, this is not in y'all's world's availability, but some of her kinfolks grabbed hold of the pastor and made him promise that he wouldn't say nothing to us. And that don't go to y'all's world very good. It's hard to transcribe that. But obedience to mom is more important than loving you. You with me or not? Okay. So this is how it went. Granny died. And then pastor heard about it. He went straight over there. And he told the family, "I heard what you said, but you're not stopping me." He lay down on the floor in front of her. Now, in our world, you don't give your dad up. You do what's called tendida. You wash them, clothe them, put on new clothes, and lay them out there on display for the whole village to come see. And as well known as she is a matriarch, I mean, thousands of people came. All right. So here she is. In state, she's dead. Okay. And here he is, laid out in front of her. All right. Now let me give you her story. Because when I heard that, and I'm seeing her alive, see, death and life don't go together. So that brings up questions. And I said to her, "So how are you alive if you was dead?" She just smiled. I said, now you love Jesus when you died, so I need to know, there's a few things I need to know. There's people that you usually run into when you die and you're born again. I want to know, did you meet anybody? She said, "Yes." She said, "I was walking down this trail, and it's lighted. It's very pleasant, very cool, nice." And she's walking down this trail on the mountainside. And she said, "I saw over the hill was this bright, sunlit valley with spires sticking out of it. It was this huge city, Brother David. I said, you got my interest. You saw the city? She said, I saw the city. I said, describe it to me. So she went into this great detail about heaven. And I'm not going to do that. It was amazing. And I said, so why aren't you there? She said, well, I was going over the hill trying to get there. And this brighter than the city light came to me. I said, it did. All right, now I got who that is. And this lady cannot read or write. She knows nothing about anything that y'all, to y'all it's commonplace. But to people that don't read or write, they don't get it, right? She's describing to me a value that she has never read before. I said to her, okay, what was in the light? She said, you know about him? I said, probably. She said, he opened the light and walked out. I said, serious? I said, I need you to describe him for me. And she described for me, right down to the details of Revelation chapter 1, of who John saw on the Isle of Patmos. He stepped out of light that's brighter than the light of the valley over there. And when he did, he was brighter than the light that was brighter. I said, okay, I'm in. Did the man talk to you? She said, yes. I said, what color was his hair? She told me, real white, long, bright, glowing. I said, okay. What about his eyes? Fire. I said, okay. All right. What about his clothes? She said he had on a dress. Well, see, they don't know robes. So I left her alone, you know. I said, did he have any? He said, yeah. She said, but I think you know about it. I said, describe it to me. She said that he had a gold belt on. I said, yeah, that's the right fella. We got him. All right, now, this man you saw, how big was he? She said, oh, he's way bigger than you. Yeah, I've heard that. I said, so, now this is happening in current day your life while you're breathing. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And I said to him, to her, I said to her, Granny, you got to tell me what he said. I said. She said, I will. But first, you want to know what he gave me? I said, of course. He reached in his dress and pulls out a light. I said, a light? Describe this light to me. She said it was the most brilliant blue. I said, did it have batteries? I know it's a dumb question for you, but I didn't know what else to say. And she took this light, and it was in this case, this glass-looking crystal thing. And it was in there, not attached to anything, but just putting off energy. And so it scared me a little. I like that. I said, a new toy. I want that. Say that. I want that. I want that. That's what I want. An energy that don't have batteries. And he handed it to her. And then it dawns on her because, see, they, Indian people, are, they don't have any money at all. They never, there's no cards, there's no cash, there's nothing. They don't have any. And most of them still barter, you know. And so she said, you have to take this back, sir. I don't have any money. And that's when Jesus spoke. He said to her, you can buy it without money. It's free to you. Please take it. She reached and took it. And then he said, go tell David. Now that made me happy.
He knows me. Here's what he said. He wants us all to know. Tell David to preach, I'm coming soon. I need you to drop these trivials, these matters that seem so pressing. They're not. Jesus is the matter. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is king. And when she looked at the light, she looked back up. He's gone. She went whish, right back to her body, went back into the body. And when she woke up, it was 14 hours, our time, in just a moment to her. Jesus is raising the dead. Jesus is saving our enemies. Jesus is alive. So that's what all in looks like. Your enemies get saved and they walk with you for years. All of their families get saved. They die. They get raised from the dead because of mercy. And I wanted to tell you that Jesus is coming soon. He told me to tell you. So, will you please stand? Thank y'all for your time. Avala haiva, Deborah. Huraba shakata baba baba. So can I have a ricola? This is so much fun to be full of the Holy Ghost and free, isn't it? Thank y'all again. Thank y'all again and again and again and again. I bless you in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost fire. The dead are raised in your generation. The blind see, the lame walk. Your most dreaded enemies are bowing the knee to the mercy of God. You don't know it, but I was in a village with the Bakers in a Muslim village a few months ago. Ms. Heidi saves the hard tack for me. I like it. We go in together, and she's up preaching, and these guys come to kill us because it's illegal. There's none of their tribe born again, and they're not going to allow it. They're radical Muslims. And I'm all right with them being whatever they want to be. But whenever they came and stood in front of Miss Heidi, and they would have killed her. And she turned. Now, this is what this is. Why all in matters. She turned with this massive creature standing in front of her with 40 or 50 friends. And he hates her. And she turned and she looked at me. Now see, the thing about it is being in rank. This is the value. You have to be in play. I'm standing there, and I'm at ease, just watching the thing. She's right there, and those people are in front of us. So what do you do? Ms. Heidi turns and looks at me and says, David. I said, yes, ma'am. Do you understand what you say? It's yes, ma'am. That's what you say. Do you understand you're going to die, right? I walk up, I put my hand on her, and I move her to the back. And I step up into that guy. I bump noses with this fella. On purpose. So you wouldn't have done that. Well, maybe you would. I don't know. I don't know you very well. So. God, it was tense for a few minutes. And then he took a step back. So what do? Now there's a gap between us. So what do you do next? I'm all in, Jack. You just look. You don't say a word. Just look at. I mean, we're this close. I mean, eyeball to eyeball. He started stepping back, and I started stepping up. He stepped back, I step up, he stepped back. Finally, we're a long ways away from the Miss Heidi. This is the enemy. This is the enemy. You know what he said to me? After a long time, you know what he said? Would you pray for me? I said, sure. Just look at me this close. I said, I'm an infidel. You gonna let me touch you? And this is the whole village watching. He said, sure. So I reach up and laid my hands on the guy. And that's when the Holy Ghost hit the joint. There was chaos. Holy Ghost chaos behind us. 40 Muslims got saved. Yeah. 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 Woo. And then miracles broke out. The deaf, ears popping open, tongues loose, eyes. There you go. Wow, you're amazing. No, you missed the point. I was afraid. I was lost things. But I wasn't backing down. God is amazing. Amazing, huh? Albania, same exact scenario. I'm with the Nazarenes up. We're in an open park, 100% Muslim. Here they come. I mean, this dude was muscled up. He looked like Mr. Olympia. He was one bad bone looking joker. He came right up to me. Muslim. I didn't know he was a captain of the mafia of the Muslim. He says to me, you're crazy. I said, yeah, I've heard that before. I mean, he is bowed up. He is, man, he's got bodyguards, guns, the whole thing. He said, you believe this, don't you? I said, to the death. He said, let's go. I said, you tell him boys not to kill me. So he did. I reached up and tapped him on the head. Listen to me. This monster of a human, awesome looking man, flew and bounced. His bodyguards ran. 72 Muslims born again. Wow. So you see why I've got a little courage? You see it, right? You understand? Okay. All right. Jesus is king. It's never the gift. It's never the man. It's only the mercy of God. Just lift your hands up to Jesus. Tell him, I want that. I'm all in. I believe you, Jesus. I take it. I receive it. I walk it. Because I believe in being possessed by the mercy of God. In the name of Jesus.